This is AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, a service of Salem Media Group.
KPRZ San Marcos, Poway, San Diego.
Thank you for supporting our ministry partners and advertisers.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD devotional diamond of the day, led or driven? Led or driven? Plus, our hot topic, go see a counselor. Uh-oh, what does that mean? We'll take a look at looking for peace of mind, and we'll close it out with life or death.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics. You have to take a pause on that. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call. 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio. It's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gotta take a short break and then come back with Standby for SRN News.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump says a suspected chemical attack by the Syrian government against civilians crossed a lot of lines. America's U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley showed photos of chemical weapons victims during a Security Council debate today.
Look at those pictures. We cannot close our eyes to those pictures. We cannot close our minds of the responsibility to act.
She warned the Trump administration would take action against the chemical attacks. The attack Tuesday in rebel-held northern Idlib is responsible for the deaths of dozens of people, including women and children. Syria's Deputy U.N. Ambassador Mansour Mansour says his government categorically rejects false claims and accusations. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly says there's been an amazing drop in the number of Central American migrants trying to cross the border in the last 90 days.
In particular, we've seen a dramatic reduction in the number of families and the number of children that are in that pipeline. It won't last. It won't last unless we do something, again, to secure the border.
Kelly said the start point is illegal status and then go to the priorities. Senators continue to spar over the nomination of Judge Neil Gorsuch for the U.S. Supreme Court.
Democrat Jeff Merkley says Judge Neil Gorsuch is too far to the right for the nation's highest court.
Both parties need to eventually find a way back to a state of affairs in which a president, regardless of party, will receive prompt Senate consideration as judicial nominees and an affirmative vote if they are well qualified and not extreme in their philosophy.
Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says Democrats would oppose any nominee.
If a widely praised nominee like this can't get past the Democratic filibuster, then no nominee of a Republican president could.
Senate Democrats are poised to launch a filibuster while the majority Republicans stand ready to block them. Linda Kenyon, Capitol Hill.
On Wall Street, the Dow down by 41 points. This is SRN News.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to celebrate Easter with the family at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego.
He is risen just as he said.
Discover what Easter means.
It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
And Pastor Ray welcomes a special music guest, Sarah Groves. Easter at Maranatha Chapel with Pastor Ray Bentley. Join us for a Good Friday service at noon, then four Easter services to choose from, Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30, with special music by Sarah Groves. Maranatha Chapel Easter weekend, April 14th through 16th. For details and directions, go to maranathachapel.org.
Russell Wilson here. With Play 60, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Healthy kids!
To get involved, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Donate!
Are you guys going to do that every time?
Yes, of course!
Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
NLS Bard gives patrons the freedom to read their way.
Bard is this beautiful web-based program for searching for books and for the ability to download them.
For more information, call 1-888-NLS-READ.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Pastor Sean doing a great job last hour from Amazing Grace Church. Did a really good job. AmazingGraceSD.com is their website. Check them out. Got a cool event taking place the 15th of April. Anytime somebody says to me, free barbecue, they win. That's how I look at that. Free what? You know, I mean, free balloons is one thing, but free barbecue? Come on. All right. Let's see. You can reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Simple way to do it. Don't forget hisappointment.com. If you've gone through a tough time and you have encountered moments in your processing where you are not sure why God let you go through it, that is what the intent of the book is for. It really has to do with anything, but it's based off of a tough church experience. And why that's important is because you would think that a church would be the greatest, simple, easiest, safest place to be. But you find out that there is growing in Jesus in every circumstance, every situation, and in every relationship. Okay, let's get rolling. We're going to be talking about stepping with the Spirit here. The first portion that we're talking about. Is that the word we're using? Portion now? Is it like a portion? Still a segment, right? It's not really portion like, you know, like a meal,
food.
Is it? Okay. The first, what was this? This isn't really like an appetizer, is it?
I don't know. Are we doing word association?
Yeah. What do we got for that? What do you got for word association? Would this be more like if you went to Kentucky Fried Chicken and you had chicken, you don't really consider the wing and the leg different, right? In the sense that it's all part
That's
of the
true,
chicken.
Yes.
Apparently, I am hungry. It's the only place that came from. Led or driven. Do we have a sound for this?
Lambert, the sheepish lion, Lambert, is always trying to be a wild and woolly sheep. Lambert, the sheepish lion.
It's the land of the sheep. Anyway, let's talk about this. So lately, I have been getting this. I don't know if it's fair to say this or not. The way I'm going to say it, but have you ever woke up as a Christian and thought, man, I'd like to be a little more sensitive to what the Lord is doing? Like, I know he's doing stuff, and he's doing stuff all over the world, but sometimes I think my dull receptors are just like either full of gunk or they've got, you know, paper on them, you know, or something. It's kind of like an antenna where you're trying to touch base with the Lord if you've got a dish that sits outside a balcony or at your house or something, you'll notice that from time to time it can be under attack by nature and or flying and floating things. And so there's this part of me that wants to have a greater sensitivity. Passages like Romans 8:14, which say, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. I think that's important to understand that a portion of this walk given by the Father, given through the Son, And, you know, and then it comes us, you know, in the spirit, there's a sense where you and I know that we need to walk by the leading of the Lord. If you look at the Gospel of Luke, especially the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts, you will find out the reference to the Holy Spirit is enormous in quantity and in quality. People may not be aware of this, but I do want to point this out just real briefly, that the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, not such a foreign concept. Oh, we don't understand it. Well, you probably don't understand the full element of combustion engines, but you put gas in your car, you turn the key on, and it goes. So anyway, or you turn on your little electric switch in your room, and the electricity comes on. You probably don't understand all the waves of the current, yet there it is, and you know it's there. There are 20-plus and probably 28-plus Bible references to the Trinity, which is no small amount if you can appreciate that. And then we'll have some people who have make a claim to faith but are actually more cultic that will say something along the lines of, well, the Father is real and the Son is real, but the Holy Spirit is just a power source or electricity. Well, the problem with that is in Acts chapter 5, it says quite specifically that Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit. And the last time I checked, I did not have the ability to look at the electricity that powers my lamp and say, you are a donkey. I am a donkey. You don't have the capacity to lie to current. You don't have a capacity to lie to electricity. You can only lie to a being. You can't lie to electricity. It doesn't work that way. And Scripture says that we're not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. The word grieve means make sad. Let's use that same analogy. I'm pretty sure I can't make gasoline sad. And we're not supposed to quench, restrict the movements of. That one you might be able to get away with. But the idea is to understand that we, in fact, engage with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is at the core of the evangelical faith. From the Father, by the Son, through the Spirit. Everybody hear that? From the Father, by the Son, through the Spirit. Just, there it is. So a question does arise from time to time, is are we being led by the Spirit of God? And I do want to make a differential here, because some people are being led by the Spirit of God, and some people are being driven, but not by the Spirit of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, and Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Let's understand something. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit. And he was led into the wilderness. Not every time that the Lord leads you, does he lead you into the land of flowers and cotton candy. Otherwise, there was no purpose of the cross, which Jesus, of course, was led to. But the Holy Spirit led Jesus. Now I want to compare that with a verse in Luke. Luke chapter 8, verse 29. For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of a man, and many times it had seized him. And though he was bound with chains and shackles, he broke the chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Most often, as we engage with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, God the Father being on the throne, Jesus Christ being at the right hand of the Father, the Holy Spirit fulfilling the ministry of Jesus on the earth, because in human form you can't make as much progress as you are in spirit form. Hello? But the Holy Spirit leads, other things drive. And sometimes we feel like we're being driven into the ground. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's a fair question to ask on a pretty active daily basis. Are we being led or are we being driven? When you are being driven, you know what accompanies a drivenness is an anxiety of performance, a fear of failing. There's a lot of things that take place in being driven. Now, just using the Greek words, this is a perfect explanation. Now, using the English words, it's not as. But the understanding is that the Holy Spirit will lead you. The Holy Spirit will guide you. But other things will drive you. And anything that drives you into fear, anything that drives you into the ground, anything that drives you into anxiety, drives you into a distance from God, drives you into being captured by the situation so the situation overwhelms you, anything that drives you, that's not God doing that driving right there. Because the Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll guide you. One of the definitions in the realm of the Spirit is gentle, but this is something that's important to understand. The enemy seeks to drive you and me into the ground every chance he can. Understanding that, we want to be influenced, we want to be directed, we want to be taught, we want to be instructed, we want to be in step with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of the living God is in you. When you said yes to Jesus, you got something, folks. Now, there's an argument now in the church, and it has been for years, by the way, whether you get the whole thing or you don't get the whole thing, or you have to be filled multiple times. No, you don't have to be filled multiple times. A great way to understand it without getting too deep in theology is the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that's the reflection of the character of Jesus Christ, as God is working in you to reflect Jesus. And when the Holy Spirit is on you, that's a reflection of ministry when you're witnessing or sharing or praying for people. There's a difference there, and it's important to note, but one and the same Spirit create the character of Jesus Christ inside you and bring you into the place of ministry. And we all drink of that same Holy Spirit. Now, when we come back, we're just going to look at that concept and put that against the concept of normal church and normal Christianity. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then we're coming back. Don't go anywhere.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey, KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted KPRZ partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
A Christian advocacy group is claiming the U.S. Department of Education is indoctrinating students into believing Islamic beliefs. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. The Christian Action Network sent a letter demanding the Education Department cease its Islamic education program for the nation's public schools, according to a report by CBN News. CAN claims students and teachers are being encouraged to promote Islamic beliefs through the Learning Media website, a site operated by the Public Broadcasting Service that provides free learning materials to students and teachers. PBS is supported by donors and taxpayers. CAN's president, Martin Moyer, said much of this so-called educational material is nothing more than indoctrinating students into Islamic religious beliefs, duties, and actions. Moyer said if the materials are not removed within 60 days, his organization will file a federal lawsuit. A review of the Learning Media website by The Blaze found at least six lengthy lesson plans focusing on teaching students about various aspects of Islam, including the five pillars of Islam, the Hajj, journey to Mecca, and Salat, prayer in Muslim life. A similar search for lesson plans covering Christianity, Buddhism, Mormonism, Protestantism, Catholicism, Taoism, and Hinduism uncovered zero results, although there were other materials related to those topics on the Learning Media website. How would you describe your health care? Now, the word affordable probably is not the first word that comes to mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. And now MediShare is available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
The David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Let me tell you a secret. So most people know we've done this show for a little while. We started the show November 5th, 2012. We have, we will be coming on coming up to 4.5 years, 4 weeks from Monday. We'll be at 4.5 years. Okay. And in that process, many people know that I've talked about having a Baptist background and a Pentecostal background. And I have both of those, plus a charismatic background, plus a Foursquare background. So there's a little bit of me that is in that realm. I actually, for a year, taught at a Methodist church, a Free Methodist church, in another community in another state. So, you know, there's a lot of eclecticness there. But I have been wanting to talk about this message for the entire, I've really withheld talking about this until this time. I've wanted to talk about this message from the first 3 or 4 months of doing the show. I've been actually waiting to talk about this for 4 years. Not that we haven't talked about the Holy Spirit. It's just this process right here, this element. And we have discussed this before, but I do want to get into the deeper part. So we talked about being led or driven by the Holy Spirit. We talked about, before that, we talked about the need to be sensitive to the Lord and be led by the Spirit. We talked about the Trinity having 20 plus, if not 28, Bible references and understanding that the Holy Spirit is equally God. And that Jesus was led by the Spirit, and typically demons drive while the Holy Spirit leads. Somebody driven into the ground is being driven usually by demonic and or circumstance. Now, I want to talk about going to see a counselor, because many people go to see counselors because counselors can be very helpful sorting things out. Do we have a sound for this? We do. Let's play that sound.
I've got two words for you. Therapy.
Was that you? Oh, good. Nice job. I got two words for you. Therapy. All right. So you're thinking, well, how does that relate to anything? Well, let me explain something to you. If you are under the assumption that church should be normal, you are not doing a lot of Bible reading. If you are under the understanding that Christianity should be something normal, you again are not doing a tremendous amount of Bible reading. In all of the interactions, the Lord is showing up and doing amazing things amongst his people. So norm for Christianity and norm for church are only active when the Lord is not active, because the Lord is hardly norm, so to speak. But here becomes a big part of our Christian walk, something that came out of the mouth of Jesus Christ, and he said this in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you. Okay? Now, look at what the requirement is for the Lord sending the counselor. Is it achieving a certain level of spirituality? No. Is it making sure that you've read the Bible from beginning to end? No. Is it making sure that you check your taxes against your giving record and that you've actually given an official 10%? Is that what's required? No. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. If I go, I will send him to you." The counselor gets sent because Jesus went away or ascended. And the counselor is clearly in the entire Gospel of John, 14, 15, 16, and 17. In the entire Gospel of Luke, chapters 1 through 24, the counselor is clearly the Holy Spirit. And the no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, Muslim people say, well, the counselor is Muhammad. Ridiculous and foolishness. Well, it's this. Nope, the counselor is the Holy Spirit, since Jesus referenced the Holy Spirit being the counselor about 50 times. He talks about sending the Spirit and the Spirit empowering. So there's only one question to ask the Bible-believing Christian in regards to their engagement with the Holy Spirit, which, of course, we know in 2 Corinthians 13, 14, it talks about the grace of God, the fellowship of the Lord Jesus, or the love of the grace of God, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Well, one thing we have to be able to answer is quite simply this. If the Holy Spirit is the counselor, and the Holy Spirit has been sent to you by Jesus, I have one question. You only have to answer this one question, no other question. But you have to answer it. As a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, how are your counseling sessions going with the counselor? So, just answer that question. If the Holy Spirit is the counselor and you are supposed to be in counsel with the counselor, how's the sessions going? I've had the chance to counsel people at a very soft level. Biblical counseling, and if anything gets serious, you send them to professional counselors. That's what should be done. But that doesn't change the reality that when you have a biblical counseling session, it's still there's a counselor and a counselee, and the Holy Spirit is the counselor, and you are the counselee. How is that session going? There are some Christians... We talked about the Muslim faith real quickly, which is just astonishingly incorrect on every level. And every Muslim teacher of Christianity knows nothing and should never be paid attention to. What's even more bizarre is that the people that believe there is a Holy Spirit tell you the Holy Spirit doesn't do any counseling, even though that's what Jesus said. And what they'll say is, well, it was only when the canon came together that Scripture is the only thing that gives you counseling. Oh, you mean so for 400 years since the birth of the church, not one Christian was counseled by the Holy Spirit because the canon wasn't complete? Have you lost your mind? There is a counseling session that is required for you and I to engage with. It is with the Holy Spirit, sent by the Son, given by the Father. It's just like, okay, got it. Jesus sends the Spirit. The Father sent the Son. You get it? How they work together? Called the Trinity Dance. I love that. That one book's really good. The bottom line is this. We're supposed to have counseling. And I think, as I remember counseling and going to counseling, quite honestly, in the counseling sessions, there is this one thing that always takes place. There is talking and there is listening. Both the counselor and the counselee are talking and listening. Oh, by the way, if you're not sure the Holy Spirit speaks, why don't you read Revelation 2 and 3, where it says the Holy Spirit says to the church, S-A-Y-S, seven times in the perfect present tense. Seven. The Holy Spirit says to the church. We're going to take it even deeper as we look into this, as we kind of dive into this, because there's this other cool element that is given to us through our engagement with the Holy Spirit. It's kind of important, and it has to do with us understanding where peace of mind comes from, or maybe where it doesn't come from, or maybe why we try to substitute for it when God offers it on a regular basis. If you're a Christian, you can't find peace of mind. It's not because you don't have the necessary tools and connections. It's probably more because you're not using them. By the way, how's your counseling sessions going? Are they going good? All right. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. Don't go anywhere.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
1 John 5:21 says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols."
Our daily bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Tim Gustafson. As he awaited his baptism in Togo's Mono River, Kosi stooped to pick up a worn wood carving. His family had worshipped the object for generations. Now they watched as he tossed the grotesque figure into a fire prepared for the occasion. No longer would their choicest chickens be sacrificed to this god. In the West, most Christians think of idols as metaphors for what they put in place of God. In Togo, West Africa, idols represent literal gods that must be appeased with sacrifice. Idol burning and baptism make a courageous statement about a new believer's allegiance to the one true God. As an 8-year-old, King Josiah came to power in an idol-worshipping, sex-obsessed culture. His father and grandfather had been two of the worst kings in all of Judah's sordid history. Then the high priest discovered the book of the law. When the young king heard its words, he took them to heart. Josiah destroyed the pagan altars, burned the vile items dedicated to the goddess Asherah, and stopped the ritual prostitution. In place of these practices, he celebrated the Passover. Whenever we look for answers apart from God, consciously or subconsciously, we pursue a false god. It would be wise to ask ourselves, what idols, literal or figurative, do we need to throw on the fire? Spend time in God's Word every day of the week with the Our Daily Bread mobile app and ebook. Go to getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Well, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, stepping with the Spirit, we've been calling it. We talked about those that are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. We talked about the 28-plus Bible references to the Holy Spirit. We talked about Acts chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 5, talking about the fact that you don't want to make the Holy Spirit sad. It means to grieve or to cry. Don't want to do that. Don't make the Holy Spirit sad. And that Jesus, in his process of ministry, was led by the Holy Spirit. What a novel thought. And then we talked in the last little section about talking about seeing your counselor because the Holy Spirit's called the counselor. And we just asked how counseling sessions were going. Not that big a deal. I'm going to share something with you that I hope will give you even more insight as to why it's important to cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, as 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14 says. Got nothing to do with canon in any capacity. It's not even close. John chapter 16, verse 12 through. Oh, wait, we actually have a title. Do we have a song for this? Do you want it? Is it good? You know, I don't ever feel like zen. I do feel like zoning out. Boy, that music really makes me. You know what that reminds me of? The chiropractor. You remember you go to the chiropractor and then they adjust you and then they make you sit in those dumb rooms?
I've actually never been.
Oh, well, you go there, and then they make you sit in these dumb rooms, and they put this music on. Now, look, the chiropractors are fine. I don't like the music. And the music, it's like Brooks, Oceans, you know. You know the one that really bugs me the most that they play? The one with the rainbow. Oh, wait, the rainbow doesn't make any noise. Oh, okay. Anyway,
that should be your favorite one, then.
Yeah, no, my favorite one is when they go Time's Up. Right, John chapter 16, verse 12 through 14 says this. This is Jesus talking. He says this. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. I would be depressed if Jesus said, I want to tell you something, but you couldn't handle it. That'd be depressing. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. However, the Spirit of truth, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. And he will declare to you what is to come. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. So in John 6, 14, 15, 16, and 17, there's just this great deal of theology on pneumatology, the Holy Spirit, and there's a great deal of discussion on how the Holy Spirit engages with believers. Jesus gives teachings and prayers on how that will transpire. And he says something that's just really fascinating. He says the Holy Spirit will take what is mine and disclose it to you, and he will, by doing so, he will glorify me. So Jesus is glorified when we're walking with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is reminding us of the things that Jesus taught and the directions that Jesus wanted us to go and the lessons Jesus wants us to learn, not just taking scripture, though that is a major part of it, but also just in leading and guiding and directing our lives. And before you say, well, that only happens through scripture, then how did you pick your wife? Did you just throw a dart at a board, or was the Lord involved in your process of choosing a mate? Because that wasn't in the scripture. You still had to pick. So there's decisions that you will make that are easy to understand from scriptural point of view. There's 66 books. There's, a pretty straightforward 39 in the old, 27 in the new. We don't, as evangelical Christians, believe in the Apocrypha. We don't believe the authority of the church is on equal par with scripture. We don't believe that somebody who prophesies, their prophecy is on equal level with scripture. Scripture is the plumb line. But we don't disregard the Holy Spirit leading and guiding through these processes using the scripture. And certainly it would never be the Holy Spirit who would say something or lead us into something that's contrary to scripture, ever. So that's not that hard. But what we do understand is the Holy Spirit takes that which is from Jesus and brings it to us, discloses it to us, guides us, speaks to us, and our engagement with that glorifies Jesus Christ. Okay. I still have much to tell you, but you cannot yet bear to hear it. However, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but he will speak what he hears. and he will declare to you what has come. So the Holy Spirit speaking one way or another. He will glorify me by taking from what is mine and disclosing it to you. How does he disclose it to us? I think in a multitude of ways, one of which is speaking, because that's what Jesus just said. Everything that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and disclose it to you. So walking with the Spirit glorifies Jesus Christ. Now here's something that can give you a guide to whether or not you are connecting to the Holy Spirit. Isn't that really, you know, we have the fruits of the Spirit, so you know that's one of them. You can easily use Galatians chapter 5 as the fruits of the Spirit as a guide. I want to give you another one that's really cool. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 6. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Holy Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. One of the ways that you can detect or you can evaluate whether you're in connection with the Holy Spirit is whether inside your left and right ear there is peace and peace of mind. You know, we played that Babbling Brook stuff because people are like, I'm going to find peace of mind. Then they chant or smack their head against the wall and then they just get some popcorn and put it in a microwave and eat it. You know, whatever that case may be, if you really have a genuine sense of peace because the Lord God is in your life, you know that you are processing your thoughts, your mind, governed by the Holy Spirit. Because when your mind is governed by the flesh, it brings about everything the flesh thrives in. Fear. Doubt, lack of peace, desperation, loneliness, all of the things that transpire when our minds are not governed by the Holy Spirit. Fighting, immoral thoughts, when you're self-medicating, same exact thing. It's our minds being governed by the flesh. But when there's joy and peace, grace, mercy, forgiveness, love, kindness, patience, long-suffering, the whole process, every one of those plus, then you know your mind and your heart are being governed by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus wants us to walk with the Spirit. I know this is probably the hardest lesson for the Baptist part of me. But it's wrong that it's a hard lesson because it should be something that we all understand. There's nobody in the New Testament who didn't get this. We're the ones who are like just beating it into theological separations and little divisions and little fortresses against one another. It's like, really? You don't think you're supposed to be led by the Holy Spirit? Just toss out Romans 8. Well, you can't toss out Romans 8 because it says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good. Well, the same book that says that says as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. It's the same chapter. It's 14 verses away. That's how far of a separation. It's not even that far apart. So if we're looking for peace of mind, we need to have our minds governed by the Holy Spirit. And if we're looking to understand a way that we can glorify Jesus Christ, it's when we're walking with the Holy Spirit and responding, and that glorifies Jesus Christ. That's not even close to the end of this. Because when we get into this next section, this will be the section that will just lay it down and you will say, man, I got to be more connected to the Holy Spirit. And it's going to be a very simple reason why. And it's all about fatherhood. Your connection to God's fatherhood. I don't know anything that's as important as that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, then we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
When people look at your marriage, Are they seeing the love of God?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. It's Wednesday, April 5th.
My wife and I had good friends. The husband came down with cancer, and the wife just showed Christ's unconditional love in serving him, and their marriage through that last year continued to shine.
When I hear stories of marriages that reflect God's character, I think of a picture that I took one day of the Grand Teton Mountains from the edge of Jenny Lake. The water of that lake was perfectly still that morning, and it acted like a mirror. When I look at that picture, I think of God's purpose for marriage. It is to mirror God's image. A successful marriage between two committed Christians provides a vivid model of God's love. That's one reason why it's so important to maintain a godly marriage. If I'd thrown a stone into Jenny Lake that day, the image of those mountains would have become distorted. Unconfessed sin can distort the reflection of God in our marriages. One final thought. Your marriage represents God's character. Protect it from sin that can distort the image of God. The world is desperate to see Him and His love reflected by you. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
What's it take to be a leader? For sure, it's not merely doing. This is Jim Garlow. And being a leader isn't merely learning a set of skills. It's not merely doing, it's being. Many a hopeful leader has lost his or her following because when people get close up, they discovered there wasn't much there to follow. It was a lot of fluff, like cotton candy. You can take a bite and it disappears. Those are what we used to call Teflon leaders. Nothing sticks, and for good reason. They're lacking in the ingredients that make a person rich in substance and high in protein. The kind of leader who speaks out of the overflow of his or her life. I call them Velcro leaders. They stick. People stick to them. It's the difference in being versus merely doing. Make sure you know the difference. There's more at jimgarlow.com.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. Great way to do that. Did get confirmation for Friday. Michael Woolworth going to be joining us on the show in the beginning of the show. We will have Russell Shubin on later on in that same show. It's a really big shoe. Let's see. So we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about led or driven. Talked about the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son. The Trinity references being 28 plus in the Old and New Testament, by the way. We talked about Matthew chapter 4, 1. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I do think it's worth noting that the Holy Spirit does not always lead us into the land of popsicles and cotton candy and, flowers. I mean, I don't know why people would think that, since the Holy Spirit led Jesus to the cross. That was his mission. And then just kind of talking about it in general terms, talking about the Holy Spirit being our counselor. And then understanding that and when our minds are governed by the Holy Spirit, that there is peace. And there's not quite the same level of disruption or disgust or disappointment or disillusionment might be another good thing to say. So I want to kind of wind it down because there's two elements that are very strong in Romans and in 2 Corinthians. Romans chapter 8, verse 15 say this, that says, "The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship, and by the Spirit we cry, Abba, Father." And the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There are two huge points that come out of this passage. One, the Holy Spirit inside you moving about in you, motivates you, influences you, directs you to cry, Abba Father. That yearning inside of you that cries out for God is initiated by the Holy Spirit. You don't cry, Abba Father, without the Spirit of God inside you motivating you to cry so. That call out to God has divine origin. See, the problem with the first covenant is that the Spirit didn't reside in us the same way, and man was too quick to not call in any capacity. In the new covenant, Jesus Christ being the righteousness, the deposit of the Spirit, read Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, guarantees our future and what is to come, and works within us and inside of us, instills in us that passion and desire to cry out, Abba, Father. If you're not sure, well, I'm not even sure if the Holy Spirit is working in me. Do you ever cry out to God? Abba, Father, Dad, help me. Well, then the Holy Spirit's working in you. And then the second part of that verse is, I think, is equally fantastic. It says the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. There are times where I will run into Christians and they're just, I think I'm saved. I believe everything I'm supposed to believe. I'm just not sure because there's some, you know, things that I struggle with, and I wonder if God's going to just kind of pull the rug out from under me and everything I've learned is going to be, you know, incorrect. That is a definitive reason for us to heighten our sensitivity to our engagement with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit himself testifies inside of us, with us, that we're God's kids. And the only reason that you wouldn't be engaging in that is if the Holy Spirit is quenched or grieved. Because if you said yes to Jesus, there is some form of deposit that is inside of you that comes from that faith in Christ. The question is not whether it's there. The theological question is, does it need to be built up? And that's fine. We can discuss that another time. But I'm talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if you don't connect to that, maybe there's a little grieving going on. Maybe there's a little quenching going on. Maybe instead of trying to make everybody else happy, you should just seek to make God happy and make sure that you and God are in communion and that you let the Father know, let the Son know, let the Holy Spirit know, here I am. Walk me, teach me, guide me, help me. All of those things, because they all apply. By that Holy Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. By that Holy Spirit, we have a sense of proof, a conviction that we're his. I know those people say, I don't know what to believe. How about just the book? Pick up Luke and read it. Tell me how many times you read the Holy Spirit filling somebody. Before you get to chapter 4, the Holy Spirit has filled Elizabeth, Zechariah, John the Baptist, and Jesus. All four big key players. Oh, and Mary. So five big key players all in the first four chapters. I get it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says this: he has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This covenant, not of written laws, but is of the Spirit. The old written covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. And that therein lies the bottom line. You give me all your theological positions you want. If you're looking for operation in the covenant of life, you have to understand that's done through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't happen any other way. And the idea that we would be restrictive to that which the Holy Spirit does just seems absurd. Does that mean that everybody's going to go running around and become, you know, little mini tele-evangelists? No. I'm not getting a Nehru jacket and walking around and saying funny things to people. It's not happening. But it does mean I want to increase my sensitivity by how I walk with the Lord. And if I'm grieving the Holy Spirit or quenching the Holy Spirit, I got to do a better job. A little less flesh in the governing of my mind, a little more of the Holy Spirit. That's what I need. I'm just going to wager a lot of people need that. If your walk is dry, if you're not feeling any sense of empowerment, if you're not walking where you know that the Lord is with you, then just say, help me to increase my sensitivity. Every time we do a talk here, every time we have a discussion, Tugboat Todd and I, no matter what it is, it always comes down to the same thing. If you're not there, ask God to help you to get there. It's not like you got to do this stuff perfectly, but you know what the target is. Ask for help to hit the target. He'll get you there. You think God's going to say, oh, my gosh, Dave asked to be closer to me. Ha, ha, ha. No way I'm going to say yes to that. It's like, come on. He loves us, remember? Remember? Okay. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break, 22 hours. Then we'll come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM, KPRZ.